Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Red Men Weekly Podcast. I'm Steve Hall, bringing you the best clips from all of our Red Men Plus content from the last week or so. I say it all the time on these shows. You're probably sick of hearing it, but I'm going to say it every single week, so get used to it. If you want to watch or indeed listen to these shows in full, simply head on over to redmenplus.com, sign up, become a legend or a captain, and get yourselves involved. If you are thinking about joining as a captain, if you sign up on a yearly subscription and use the promo code Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, when you sign up, you'll get that yearly subscription for half price. That offer ends at midnight on the 16th of July. So if you're thinking about doing it, you've got till midnight on July 16th to get it in. So yeah, that is that. Right then, let's crack on with the show. First up, and this is going to be quite a Saudi Arabia heavy show in general, I think, but on the Bias Football Podcast, you had Paul, you had Chris, you had Chloe, and you had Dan discussing Steven Gerrard finally accepting a job at Al Ittihad over in Saudi Arabia.
So let's start then with Steven Gerrard. So we spoke about this last week, that he's taken the role at Al Ittihad, which I think the pronunciation that Gerrard did on a video I saw was like Ittihad, but I don't...
Al Ittihad, yeah.
Yeah, but it sounded like someone just let a Scouse lad run riot with all the syllables there, and that's what he came up with, not necessarily what it's meant to be. But there's an article saying what he believes he's got a lot in common with his new club. I'm going to read through some of the bits.
Can you first of all just go back to the top of that screen and show everybody, please? Because it looks like as a foreign world leader, he's about to launch a bomb somewhere.
Yeah,
which is a bit nuts.
Yeah, he does look like he's pretending that he's not responsible for something that he's very responsible for. is what's going on there? Yeah, it's the palatial backgrounds. Like we're so used to managers being in front of like sponsor boards. The fact that he's got like a gold leaf mirror behind him and like little flags, like he's a delegate, UN. He's just come back from the UN to explain some wrongdoing.
If you'd have told me when he scored that goal in the final against West Ham that I'd seen that picture, I'd have said you were nuts. Absolutely, little Saudi flag in front of him, like, oh, that is insane.
I'm going to try and find the quotes about him, because he's been speaking about it, and he said, there are three things that I always consider, and they are in a particular order. It needs to be right for my family first and foremost. We have to be excited and motivated by the challenge. I think the football project needs to be ambitious. It needs to be for the right reasons in terms of the challenge and the remit. And of course, you need to feel secure that the contract is right. But that always comes at the very end. There's a combination of reasons. I'm extremely excited and happy. Can't wait to start and meet all the supporters and all the players. And the people I've met so far that represent Al Ittihad have been absolutely outstanding. And I think we share a lot of things in common. In a message to the fans, I think my message to supporters is that I'm really happy. I'm really excited. I'm a coach, a manager that is very ambitious, that likes to work tirelessly to make sure the team is very competitive. I look forward to meeting the supporters and so much.
Potentially going to be taking them to a Champions League final? What is that you can win?
That he can win the Saudi Pro League?
Well, he's not going to.
No.
So,
Can we put them in order, by the way, and just call number three for what it is, money?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And is money number one? Top,
please. Yeah.
He says, I think the league will continue to grow and evolve. I think with fantastic support from the government and ministers and all the clubs throughout the Saudi Pro League, all the sports, the players, everyone that's involved, we all have an ambition to continue to grow and evolve and make it one of the best leagues in the world. And that's a
cut and paste job from when he went to the Galaxy.
Yeah, probably. Almost yeah. certainly. The thing about this, I think it's worth mentioning, because obviously we're seeing a lot of the sports washing element of when it comes to Saudi's investments in European football and beyond. But actually, from a pure Saudi perspective, there is a mission there to give the reason behind it is to give like Saudi people something to be proud of, to spend that money internally and what have you, and also to kind of diversify the portfolio of the country, which is obviously very, very heavily reliant upon stockpiles of gas and all that kind of stuff. So, as you know, if I was Saudi and all this, you'd be absolutely made up with this all. It's just the Gerrard thing for me, and maybe it's because I've got so much attachment to him, and he is so awkward in front of camera as well, that I don't think he's a great spokesperson for all of this, because he's very much a one take wonder. And what I mean is, he chooses to do one take and no more, whether it's a good take or a bad take. And his career is littered with examples of this. LFC TV have fallen foul of this for many a year. The one where he says like something show my ignorance in the language or whatever, but he then goes like, see you soon at the end. And it's just so awkward. Everything about it is like, go away and you learn your lines, then we'll do it 10 times and then they'll put the final one out.
The concern is this might have been the 10th time.
and the
media team have gone, that's as good as we're going to get, let's wrap up.
That's it, we're done.
That's
we're
the
done.
Take.
Do you remember the Champions League that happened last year, sadly, and he was the advert for it. And every time I watched it, I just thought to myself, are you even trying to act? Like, what? No. What is it that you're doing? And he was just like, thank you. And it was like, give me a bit more than that. Mental.
Turkish Airlines on it. I think he did that. It was Turkish
that day was horrendous.
Really bad.
Horrendous.
Really good.
And I don't know whether this is it, but people who are watching who aren't Scouse, can you tell when someone who's Scouse is doing a really robotic performance? Because I can.
Yeah.
And it goes back to 16 and Pregnant, which my wife's a big fan of, that, you know, like, and then Teen Mom was the thing that followed it. They did an English version and there was a Scouse couple in it, and it made me feel horrendous, because you realise that when they're doing the voiceovers, they're scripted. They're not just someone are not a natural orators explaining their life, and this Scouse kid was doing, and it made me want to kill myself. And I don't know whether it's just that I pick up on this because I know how he talks, and I know what Scouse accents are meant to sound like. It makes me very, very, very uncomfortable.
I've enjoyed the memes, though, of his introduction, because it's like...
Him in the kebab shop was like top.
He's trying to put it on, and like, you're thinking, oh, maybe, and then he goes, Stephen Gerrard, and then it's like, well...
He went for a walk with the pronunciation, didn't hear that. The club, like, yeah, he took it into his own hands. Like, yeah, it's funny.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll have more to do and say on it. In fact, I want to.
He wants a Rigi now, by the way.
He's just nicked the England under 20s manager, hasn't he, to be his assistant as well?
Yes, but wasn't he at a club as well? He was at Villa.
The
academy at Villa as
and
well.
And he's had one of our young youth.
Yes, one of ours.
Analysts as well. Right, let me see if I can just play this video. No, that's an advert. No adverts. Other service providers for finding your car and home insurance are available. Oh, come on, Sky Sports. The fucking milk in it. Bear with me.
I like them.
This is great content.
It's really enjoyable, I think, yeah.
Come on. Oh, Sky Sports, you absolute shot. I'm trying to play the Gerrard welcome thing.
I think
Go Twitter, mate.
I know, but literally. I've gone down this path now, Chris, and watch, this is not even going to... Oh.
Start it again, go back 10 seconds.
Here we go.
Anna El Etifaki.
See you
soon.
See you.
Yeah, but with him saying Steven Gerrard.
Steven Gerrard. And I've gone to another advert. That was an absolute fucking disaster.
It's like Steven Gerrard was in charge of the show then.
I'll let you off, Steve. Your media skills aren't that bad.
I can't understand why they got him to do it as a selfie either, you know.
No.
Yeah.
Really weird. Yeah, also really weird, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's because they haven't got the public investment funding.
Yeah,
they've obviously haven't got the same level.
He could have got one of them fucking selfie sticks and used that instead, like, you know.
Yeah, Jones was all over that, wasn't he, in the Euros final. Right, okay, look, let's move on. I'm certain we'll be talking about this until, forever.
The one thing that's good that's come out of it is all the Joey Bart and Steve McLaren stuff's all resurfaced and that as well, which is always funny. Them speaking in
weird accents.
Accents. You know, how do you say in French? It's like, fucking hell, lads. I mean, he's not the worst, Gerard.
No.
Cheers to Paul and the guys for that one. Hope you enjoyed it. Right then, next up, this is Bobby Vincent, Football London reporter. Spoke to Dan Club on our Transfer Insight show all about Chelsea's Levi Colwell. Liverpool are seemingly interested in him. What is the Chelsea stance on that particular story? Dan has Bobby just about that.
I just wonder if Colwell does have this conversation with Pochettino and for whatever reason, whether it be doesn't quite get the promises that he wants, or as you mentioned there is the interest in Liverpool and his head has completely turned already. How do you think Chelsea would go about it then? Because Chelsea are a strange club at the best of times and I'm not quite sure where they're at now in terms of their evolution since the Abramovich era, but I wonder, would they play hardball with someone like Colwell, or would they be willing to sell him if he does turn around and say, I need to move, I want to move? What do Chelsea do in that case?
It's a good question. One I can't answer for definite, but I think I could see them playing hardball, to be honest, because and almost, you know, bank on them coming to a sort of compromise with Colwell because he's still got 2 years left to. It's not a long time, but, you know, there's still time to figure things out. I think they probably would sell, but would try and price teams out of it almost. Kind of like what they were doing with Mason Mount this summer. I don't think they ever really expected Manchester United to sort of pay that much. They were almost trying to price them out, and they end up did. So, yeah, I could see Chelsea asking for, you know, a ridiculous amount for him. I think Brighton offered somewhere near 50 million in their second bid, and that was, you know, not considered anywhere near enough. So it's scary, the sort of figures that Chelsea would ask for Colwell. And I can't really see any club paying it, because I think we're talking anywhere upwards of 80 million. I really do. And yeah, but that's how highly they rate him and how much they don't want to let him go. But, you know, you know yourself, if a player starts kicking up fuss and doesn't want to be there, then no matter what clubs say, their stance does soften a bit. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. But I think they'd have to go out and sign a replacement as well, because, like I said, Pochettino sort of wants two on each side. And Chalobah and Thiago Silva can both play there. But I don't think that, you know, natural left centre backs and Thiago Silva as well, he's not been as good in a four as he has a three, partly still of his age, I guess. He's 38 now. So I think they'd have to go out and sign a left-sided centre-back. They've just sold Koulibaly. So I don't think they would have done that unless they were confident that, you know, Colwell will be playing for them next season.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and you mentioned some of the fees there. It's probably, it's definitely upwards of 50, 100%. I don't think that gets the deal done by any stretch of the imagination. And it's interesting, I spoke to David Lynch last week and he essentially said if Liverpool even got the slightest inclination that Colwell move could happen, they would be willing to pay big for him. So it'd be interesting to see how that develops. I hope it does happen, to be honest with you. There's reports in Football London and it suggested and it kind of reaffirmed what we knew about Liverpool's interest. And they claimed that multiple inquiries have been made. Can you tell us anything you know on Liverpool sort of making their stance clear on this situation?
Yeah, so I heard at the start of the summer that Liverpool just asked, like, tentatively, sort of, I don't know how it went down. I don't know if it was over a phone call, face-to-face or whatever. I don't know that. But Liverpool asked Chelsea, you know, what their situation with Colwell is. He's got 2 years left in his contract. Is he going to go out on loan again? Chelsea were just like, no, he's ours. He's staying. And then literally the start of last week, so probably around this time, Monday or Tuesday, I don't know the exact day, Liverpool asked again. Probably a different question, probably like, why hasn't it been sorted yet? You know, why is there still interest or whatever? But yeah, Liverpool really do want him, and them and Brighton have sort of been the clubs talked about the most with Colwell this summer. Brighton have obviously put two bids in, but I guess Liverpool won't put a bid in until they sort of know that it would be accepted. So yeah, like David Lynch said, if they can get any sort of encouragement, which, to be honest, unfortunately for your viewers, does seem quite unlikely, then perhaps they will go and put a bid in and test the waters. But yeah, just we us Chelsea journalists get briefed a lot from people at the club, and they've consistently told us this summer that he's untouchable, basically. They won't sell him, that they rate him that highly. He's probably someone who could be considered a future captain of the club. He's been called a lot by people around Chelsea as the next John Terry. So that's how highly they rate him. But like I said, the conversations he has with Pochettino, his family, whatever, they're the important ones, because that's the only way I could sort of see a Colwell leaving Chelsea this summer. It won't be the club's decision.
No, definitely. Absolutely crucial days coming up. And we had a similar situation with Ryan Gravenberch quite recently as well. And sort of, we wanted to make that deal happen. He wanted assurance of his future. It's all gone quiet on that now. I don't think Liverpool were willing to wait as long as it might have took to get Gravenberch potentially. But with someone like Colwell, it feels like we might be willing to wait that little bit longer for that conversation to be had and sort of strike if possible after that. And if not, we'll have to move on to different defensive targets, of course. Just finally, Bobby, before I let you go, I've got to ask you, and it sounds like to me, I'm not going to get the answer I want here from what you've just said, but if you had to sort of stick your neck on the line now and tell Liverpool-Chelsea first game of the season, who will Levi Colwell be lining up for?
Yeah, sorry, mate. I imagine Chelsea, just from what I get told. And yeah, I'd imagine Chelsea, unfortunately. But, you know, what a story that would be if he was returning Stamford Bridge at Liverpool. But it's going to be 0-0 anyway, isn't it?
Dower 0-0, yeah. If you leave like Colwell, do it properly, you know, make the move and make sure the first game's against Chelsea. Well, that's the way to do it.
Cheers to Dan and cheers to Bobby. Sticking with Dan again, yes, it's another expert insight. This time it was with The Athletic's Kiva O'Neill, absolute superstar. Kiva, she is amazing. We love the work she does over at The Athletic. She's big into following Liverpool's academy sides, and Dan spoke to Kiva to get the lowdown on some of Liverpool's academy prospects.
I think a loan move makes sense now because he hasn't, obviously with his injury, and he hasn't been able to, you know, experience first team football. So you'd imagine, you know, an AFL club of some kind. And I'm hearing, you know, there's lots of interest from League One and League Two as well. And you'd imagine, you know, a League One club would probably be, you know, a great fit for him, even League Two, to, you know, just a massively important experience for these young players, I think, to go out and experience football at that level, because, you know, it's probably a big wake-up call as well. I can only imagine, just like, whoa, this is different, because, you know, the academy is competitive and academy games are, but it's just different, completely different level, isn't it? And obviously, you know, that's important for the players to do. And I think Stuart's definitely one that I'd love to see, you know, how he adapts to that environment. And I imagine, and it will be, you know, he'll adapt well to it, but obviously, you know, you don't know yet. And yeah, I think if he gets a good loan move, I think that could be perfect for him.
Yeah, taste of League One or League Two defenders kicking him every 5 seconds. It's a nice grounding for these young strikers sometimes. But yeah, I think you're right. I think in terms of his development, like you say, he missed a year essentially with that bad injury. I think he probably needs, and it would probably help him in the future if he was to go out and get some proper first-team experience under his belt. Nice lad as well. He came in recently, helped us with a Bobby Firmino documentary, and he lives around the corner from me, so I definitely wish him the best. Next of all, I want to speak about Connor Bradley, because he's sort of emerged as one of the most spoken about youth prospects at Liverpool on the back of his absolutely amazing season at Bolton, where he a clean sweep of the awards. It was essentially forming young player, player of the season, fans player, everything else you want to sort of clubman of the year, whatever you want to sort of give to him, I guess. He is going to be one. You mentioned earlier, Kiva, about Trent's new position. Conor Bradley feels like one who could almost benefit from this. And you mentioned Calvin Ramsey going out on loan as well. So I think we're going to get a good look at Conor Bradley, aren't we, in the preseason stuff and perhaps maybe even after.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think he's one that will be involved. You'd imagine him pre-season at some point, and then going into next season, you know, Liverpool, I think, will assess him in a similar way to Luke Chambers and see, you know, what would be better. Would it be better to loan him out and continue that experience, or, you know, be around the first team and be an option? And I think he showed at Bolton and has shown, you know, at the academy over a number of years that he can be that option, and he is someone that, you know, I remember, I think, writing a piece on him a couple of years ago just because the excitement around him was just building and building. I think he was about 17 then, maybe, and, you know, just someone that has sort of garnered that excitement because obviously he's a, you know, fully capped international for Northern Ireland, and, you know, there is just so much about him and about his game that is really promising. I watched him at Wembley in the Pizza Trophy final not long ago, and, you know, he just looked so comfortable in a home there, you know, and I think that'll continue whatever level he's at. He just seems like the kind of player that will just keep on adapting. And you think about those experiences, even playing an international level and doing it at such a young age. I think he was just a little bit older than George Best making his, you know, debut for Northern Ireland, which is, you know, obviously not an easy thing to do. And, you know, he went and did that, and it's just continued, and just, you know, this out-and-out professional now, and someone I think, you know, Liverpool fans are excited about for good reason.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and it's interesting just how an attacking role he's played as well while he's been at Bolton. Like, he's essentially been a right winger at times, like scoring goals. I remember seeing some highlights, one absolute worldy goal as well. But I think he actually gets man of the match in the Pizza Trophy final that you're talking about there. So he's had a real standout and a bit of a surprise to me, really, because I'm aware of some of the youth prospects we've got. Obviously, you can't help but hear about the likes of Ben Doak, etc. But Conor Bradley caught me off guard a little bit, and obviously he goes and makes a name for himself in League One last year, and all of a sudden, you know, he's about to get a decent opportunity, like I say, with the first team. So, one to get excited about. Next one I want to touch on with you is one I can't make my mind up on, not in terms of his talents, in terms of his ability, because I think he's got a lot, but in terms of what happens next, and it's Bobby Clark. In the piece, you sort of talk about Pep Linders identifying Clark as one to watch and sort of very much one that Linders and Klopp have got an eye on. But in terms of where he's at in his development, I guess you can just wax lyrical about him for a minute and just say how brilliant he's going to be. But do you think a loan move could be the best option for him this season as well?
I think it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, you know, keep mentioning the players that have been involved early on in pre-season already, training at, obviously, Kirby, and he's one of them there, you know, that showed up and is getting a Klopp hug like the rest of them. And I think that's because, you know, he has shown over, you know, the past couple of seasons he's been at Liverpool since he joined from Newcastle. Obviously, he's boiled club, not easy to, you know, to move, is it? And he did that at a young age, and obviously as soon as you watched him play, you were like, yeah, there's a real talent. And I think Andy Jones, my colleague who wrote the piece with, wrote about his swagger, and, you know, there's certain players that do carry that with them onto the pitch. And I think, you know, Ben Doak could be one, and Bobby Clark could be another. That kind of, I'll call it like the Curtis Jones, Trent Alexander-Arnold confidence that certain players just carry. And I think Bobby Clark's definitely got that. I think he's one as well that you kind of don't know what to expect too much from him yet, because he is still a very young player. And obviously, you know, central midfielder, attacking midfielder, he can kind of, is a player you could just drop in and, you know, just let him run about the pitch. And that's kind of how he's best, you know, in an attacking sense, you know, very skillful, calm on the ball. And I think it will be interesting to see what happens. Maybe a loan move is the right thing for him, given that he's sort of bedded in, he's comfortable at Liverpool now. And I think, you know, that is, you know, we talk about it as an experience. Even if a loan move doesn't go well, it can be a good experience for players. You know, remember I did an interview recently with Leighton Clarkson, who we've chatted about before, and, you know, I think his time at Blackburn, you know, just did not turn out how he expected it. And he said, you know, when I got back to Liverpool, that's when I kind of realised, you know, a lot of things, and that eventually he wanted to move on and, you know, play somewhere else. Now he's obviously had a really successful owner, Aberdeen, and moved there permanently. So, you know, loan moves don't always go well, but they really do shape you, I think, and shape these young players. So, you know, Clark could definitely be one added to that list, but it'd be interesting to see whether, you know, keeping him at the academy and training with the first team a lot, because, you know, a lot of players do that and then drop down and play, you know, under 21s games or under 18s, depending on your age and sort of the availability too. So, you know, I think they're still getting that experience at the academy, and you sort of like, you're either thinking, well, you're training around these, you know, world-class elite players potentially, and then, you know, dropping down and playing games as well. So, you know, that's still not a bad option for anyone, I wouldn't say. But, you know, going into, like you were saying, getting kicked and pushed around by big defenders in League One, League Two, and the rest of it, you know, is a good way to learn the game pretty quick, I'd say.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cheers, Dan. Cheers, Kiefer, for that one. Right, next up, it's Journo Insight time. We have Neil Jones in twice a week. And yeah, on Thursday's live show, it was quite the chaotic scene. We had the Jordan Henderson stuff all breaking. Is he going to Saudi Arabia? Is he not? And then during the show, David Ornstein reported about an interest from Saudi Arabia again, this time in Fabinho. And you're going to hear what our initial reaction to that story dropping was.
I'm going to speak about the Fabinho stuff. I'm just going to...
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Now, this is... We can't really say this is much in terms of insight at the moment. This is more reacting to a story.
Yeah.
I know you're frantically sending a couple of text messages there along the way as well to see where we can get. But I'll try and bring it up on the screen if I can, if not, I'll read it out. But it's from David Ornstein, has just tweeted.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Aaron's got it sorted there for us. Al Ittihad... to make a concrete bid.
So that's a different club.
Different team, yeah. If my pronunciation for those listening, it is a different club. Al Ittihad are set to make a concrete bid to sign Fabinho from Liverpool for £40 million. This is expected to develop fast one way or another. The key issue for Liverpool is getting a number six. Is letting a number six go without replacement, but they're working on this. Romeo Lavia is among multiple options. So, like I say,
yeah.
I can't ask you for any insight on this because I know it's pretty
not an insight, but we can react to it. Yeah.
Exactly, we can definitely react to the story. Yeah, wow. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to let you react to the story, Neil.
Well, again, from a Liverpool point of view, I think that price was it £40 million?
Yes. I'll take that.
Yeah, I think that's bite your hand off time.
I agree.
I think that's bite your hand off time for Liverpool.
Same.
Initial reaction, obviously.
Yes.
And I don't think Liverpool would obviously let him go without having a replacement in there. But I actually don't think of 40 million and whatever else you've got in the bank and the wages you're saving and whatever. I actually think that won't be as arduous a task as it might once have seemed to replace someone like Fabinho. It just means the only worry you would have is obviously unless Liverpool have seen this train coming down the road a long way away, maybe some of the signings they've made might be made with the idea that you have Fabinho and that you have Henderson in your squad, and so you look at McAllister and you look at Szoboszlai. It'd be interesting to know whether, if you'd have known at the start of the summer that those two could leave, would you have targeted different players first and gone elsewhere? Probably not. And maybe, does it mean that you don't look at Lavia now because you think, well, actually, we wanted Lavia to go sort of alongside and then eventually take over from Fabinho, but actually now we need someone to just go straight into the team day one and play.
Well, also there's £40 million extra in your pocket that you didn't have. But I'm just going to throw names out there, but all of a sudden the £30 million that you were willing to spend on Lavia, throw 40 on it, and then Moises Caicedo becomes a more realistic option or a better DM.
I think that's a hard one for Liverpool to say no to at this stage, regardless of whether you think he is capable of getting back to a level. Even if he is, it's only probably one or two seasons maximum. He had him and Henderson particularly had a really poor season last year and looked really worn down. Fabinho to me looked older than his years, if you want to say it like that. So he's almost a 29-year-old who in what the way he's played looks almost 31, 32. I think it's hard to say no to £40 million, you know, at this stage for any 29, 30-year-old holding midfielder, not a centre forward, not your goalkeeper, not your sort of star man. We'll see if that offer arrives and how it develops, but I think we'll see some midfield links coming around Liverpool's way, I think, in the next few days. And by the way, just on Lavia, as far as I'm aware, nothing's changed in that regards, you know, in terms of still a way apart on fees and things like that. Whether this accelerates it or changes it or makes Liverpool pivot somewhere else and look at different types of player or different status of player, possibly there's every chance, isn't it? But in terms of Lavia specifically, at the moment, there's no great update.
Yeah, and they say in the piece there, David Longstein says the club are working on options if Fabinho should leave, with Romelu Lavia among a number of options. So there could be a couple of people that are working at.
And I don't think, listen, that's the other good thing, isn't it? I don't think, so if you were talking, this was Trent, there's only a very small pool of players that you could sort of look at, isn't it? Salah. There's not really, you know, you're not going to cash your net wide if you're looking for it. I think with Fabinho, I think you can. I don't think you're sort of, there's only one or two that you could get. I think there's quite a broad church, if you like, of potential people who could come in and actually do the right job for Liverpool. I'd be fascinated to see where they end up, whether it's Lavia, whether it's someone else, whether it's Lavia and someone else, whether it's, you know, a completely unknown name, a sort of another Szoboszlai out of the blue. It's just going to be a fascinating. I'm glad I wrote that piece on. Was it on Wednesday, wasn't it? I said this is the most interesting and exciting pre-season Liverpool have had in years. It's actually, since I've written it, it's got 10 times more exciting and interesting.
It's almost
like I know what I'm writing.
That's what we're paying for.
By the way, this chair, I don't know if you've realised, as this show's been going on, this chair has been gradually sinking. So
fix yourself, going.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's just, I'm just, as I was talking in that last segment, I was just felt like I was just sinking. It's almost like I was trying to escape the show. But I'm not, I promise you I'm not. It's just the chair has been sinking.
It's the sinking feeling we're all getting. But going back to the reaction to the Fabinho stuff, is that, Liverpool got Stefan Bacetic, Liverpool a bit. The players we've been linked with, it was Lavia's the only one really, I know, but they're young players. Again, if Liverpool sold Fabinho, do you not think they would probably need someone more experienced? A proper number. With all due respect to Lavia, he could develop into something, and Stefan Bacetic could develop into something. I mean, your daddy, you'd want someone who's 24, 25, ready to go, even whatever age, really.
100%. My sort of. You want Fabinho again, wouldn't you? When you signed Fabinho, you'd want that really. You couldn't. It would be a huge risk for Liverpool to say, "No, we're going to trust two teenagers to do the job," and not just that job. I mean, it's such a pivotal job, isn't it? You know, you have to learn that position almost, don't you? You really have to sort of master it and become, you know. And you look who the best in the world are at the moment. You know, people like Rodri. You know, in the past, obviously Casemiro and Sergio Busquets and people like that. You know, you have to be pretty perfect in that position to sort of to really master it. So it's a very it's a very difficult another bit of news, by the way. Darwin Núñez, I should have told you this when we started. Darwin Núñez, Liverpool number nine, changed his number.
There you go.
Everything's happening today. Oh. But yeah, so yeah, it's not a position that you can just sort of say to a young kid, go ahead, just go and learn. But you're playing every week as a number six in the Premier League. That's a massive, massive challenge. People like Lavia, Bajcetic, we've seen it with other players, you know, Curtis Jones, we've seen it in different positions with Trent. They're going to have these ups and downs naturally in their development because they're so young. If you're having them while you're playing every week in a position like that, that is really, really difficult, and that could really, you know, impact the team and impact yourself. So I would say Liverpool would probably need more experience.
Yep.
I don't think. Listen, there'll probably be a Thiago update coming soon. You know, imagine the three of them go. You're not gonna just go down a kid's route on that. You're gonna have to get some kind of guarantee in that midfield option. You know, you've already got a lot of uncertainties. You know, as much as I'm quite optimistic about all of these factors, you've still got uncertainty around whether Curtis can maintain what he's done. You've still got uncertainty around where Harvey Elliott's going to get to. You've still got it over Darwin. You've still got it over Luis Diaz, whether he's going to come back as Jota, the injuries he's had. You've still got it over Gakpo and what level he's going to be getting to, considering the players he's replacing. You've still got it over where Trent plays, Virgil van Dijk's form. So you don't want to be adding in the fact that, and also all our midfielders are 19 and 20. That's a real sort of... You'd be really gambling with your short term.
Yeah, for the message on Plewis, I've had that sinking feeling since last night.
It's a metaphorical sinking.
Yeah, he's the same thing. Right, up next we've got Dan Clubb yet again with another transfer inside. This time with Dave O.C. Kopp. Dave has been all over the Jordan Henderson, Saudi Arabia stuff, and we thought, who else should we speak to other than the man who's seemingly getting all the information? So yeah, here's Dan and Dave.
There's loads of different factors at play here, and it's interesting you mention it was kind of Gerrard driven. That's no huge surprise to me. It felt like a fit when Gerrard arrived there, and all of a sudden the Saudi interest, it does feel like a good fit from that sense. And as you mentioned, he has had that conversation, it appears, with Jurgen Klopp, and he hasn't been given the assurances over game time that he would have liked. So from a footballing perspective, I get it. There's loads of other factors at play that we won't go deep into now because neither you nor I are the right person to speak about that necessarily. But just in terms of figures, Dave, I mean, we've seen a lot sort of bandied about in terms of his salary, of course. But from a Liverpool perspective, it was fascinating to me that Etifak felt like they could potentially sign him for free. Is that right? Is that ever a possibility?
Well, that's their hope, to be honest. And I think, you know, once people hear, I suppose, Saudi Arabia or Saudi Arabian clubs, you know, they immediately think, oh, 40, 50, 60 million, we're going to go out and buy Labi on the back of this or whatever it may be. But Al-Ettifaq are not a PIF club, so they have to work within a certain structure. And I think it's quite simple for them that they just said, well, this is our package. This is what we can afford. You come back to us with whatever way you want to kind of... Is it going to be true salary and a transfer fee, or is it going to be true salary? But also, I just want to clarify that Liverpool are well within their rights to seek a fee for the Liverpool captain. He's 33 years old, 2 years left on his contract. If any club approaches you, you're well within your rights. But I just think it's a thing here that it's kind of black and white, that this is what we have to spend. If it's enough to get it over the line, great. But if it's not, we move on. But I can also absolutely understand Liverpool's position. This is someone who's played the majority of the Premier League games last season. He may be, you know, maybe his best days are behind him. I think we can agree on that, but he still has a lot to offer. So Liverpool, you know, why would they let him go for free? So I think it's going to be a thing that it's going to maybe drag on for a while. There's going to be kind of a who'll flinch first kind of thing. And I think eventually he probably will leave. You know, he's got obviously... A transfer fee is one thing, but obviously he takes up a lot of the wages in the club as well. And if you can bring in a 19-year-old Lavia on potentially less wages, from a footballing point of view, it would make a lot of sense as well. So that was it. They were hoping they could get him for free or maybe a nominal fee of a couple of million or less even. And, you know, I don't think it's a thing that there's like a large fee there, just hoping for the best. Let's see, can we get him for free? I think it's a genuine thing that this is the package. If we can get it over the line, we'd be interested in taking him. And if not, no, and maybe it mightn't work for Liverpool. Maybe it's not of interest to them, you know.
Yeah, that's
we'll have to wait and see.
That's it for me, Dave. Really. So you obviously you're right. I mean, Liverpool are definitely well within their rights to sort of stand firm for a fee because he's got 2 years left on his deal on the eve of a new season. He is the club captain. Why would we let him just walk away for nothing? Doesn't make any sense. But and also in the same hand, like I say, El Etifak, they're perfectly within their rights to come and say, we have this pot of money, whatever it may be. We need to make this deal work, wages and fee. So it's kind of it's an interesting situation. But I do wonder, Dave, whether even from a Liverpool fan perspective, like you say, like, what happens if they can't come to an agreement on this? Because now it's abundantly clear that John Henderson is keen on leaving the football club for Saudi Arabia. So if they can't come to an agreement, what happens next? Like, where do we stand on this one? It seems so bizarre to me to think that after all of this, Henderson might end up staying. Is that even a possibility?
I suppose it is a possibility. Depends how much Liverpool dig their heels in. Like I said, which they're entitled to do. But look, if I can just maybe go off the point of, unfortunately, Jordan Henderson seems to get abused from fans no matter what decision he makes, which I think is absolutely horrific. To me, it's the worst side of Twitter, just Jordan Henderson in particular, someone who's such a great professional, a great role model, and he's been a great player, that the way some of the so-called fans can reply to his comments and some of the comments say online, to me, it's just absolutely incredible, really, that you get, especially a player like that and a character like that. So, you know, I think, you know, Jordan Henderson, I suppose he has a bit of leverage in the sense that I was told I'm not going to get much game minutes. So what do you want me to do kind of thing? But I think it's kind of got to a stage now where it's gone past the point of rescue that maybe everyone feels, you know, it might be best for him to move on. But at the same time, you know, I'm sure Jurgen Klopp was obviously diplomatic in the discussion he had with him. Maybe he said that, you know, I'm just speculating, but maybe he said something along the lines that, you know, you're not going to get many game minutes, but you're a big character and I need you around the squad, of course, because if this deal falls through, you don't want to be the manager who spoke to the player and said, look, we want you out of here. And I don't think Klopp would have that decision with Jordan Henderson anyway. And I think it's clear to see for everyone there's a much stronger bond there between Henderson and Klopp on a deeper level of a player than a player and a coach. It's more kind of maybe a mentor and you know, that kind of relationship. But, you know, it's interesting. I suppose it all just comes down to if Liverpool really want to just free up some wages or if it's a thing that they're going to say, no, we're digging our heels in on this one. And, of course, there's been talk about Fabinho as well. So that will have a factor. I think between Thiago, Fabinho and Henderson, I think the club will be happy let two of them leave and maybe make room for Lavia and, you know, whoever else they may have in mind. Barella, I would like myself, but that's just a personal opinion, you know.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Barella. That'd be a fantasy signing for me as well. Yeah, me personally, I felt like Jordan Henderson did have a role coming into the season. It was more the James. Yeah, it was more the James Milner role in terms of dropping into games, seeing out games, starting the occasional match here and there. But just in terms of his presence, and it does feel like a big loss in terms of losing both leaders in the same summer. Feels like a big blow to us, especially so close to the season starting. But yeah, just to round off then, Dave, I mean, you, like I say, you've covered this pretty much from start to finish, this potential deal. How do you see it transpiring from here? And I know it's been almost impossible to predict from 1 minute to the next, but what do you think happens next? Like you say, do you think we've gone too far now for this deal to fail almost?
My gut tells me that he will go. At the moment, I believe that, you know, representatives speaking on behalf of Jordan Henderson have asked for a little bit of time to go back to speak to Liverpool and they will come back and see where things are at. But my gut tells me that he will move on. And I just think of all players in the club, if someone has said, look, this is what I personally want to do, can you make it happen for me? I think, as I said, of all players in the club, he's one that the club might make that exception for. And, you know, I said it last night, I just want to say it again, that, you know, that many years ago when he didn't speak to Brendan Rodgers to say that he didn't want to be part of a Clint Dempsey swap deal to Fulham, he wanted to stay and fight for his place. You know, if we were to say then that he was going to captain the side to a Champions League and a Premier League, you know, it would have been just unbelievable, really. And that has happened. So We'll see. But my gut tells me that he will go.
Like I mentioned at the top of the show, guys, those shows are available in full over at redmenplus.com. You can watch them as videos. You can listen to them as podcasts in your native podcasting app. Just go to redmenplus.com and sign up today. If you're listening to this on Spotify and you only use Spotify to listen to your podcast, if you search for Red Men Plus Podcasts on your Spotify app, you can also sign up directly through Spotify. You end up paying Spotify for your subscription and you don't get access to the videos on the website, but you can listen to it in Spotify. So if that's something you're interested in as well, that option is there for you. But in general, redmenplus.com is better in terms of your value because basically you get the videos as well. Right then, that's enough speaking from me. That was this week's Red Men Weekly Podcast. We'll be back with another one next week. See you all soon. Take care.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.